Oh, yeah. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Good morning. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy today, Tom Connolly, who is subbing for Big Ed. We thank you for joining us on this Monday morning, January the 27th already. We're going to be talking, by the way, in a few minutes with Mark Thornton of the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and we're going to talk about the Trump economy and its relationship, intended or not, with Austrian economics. Now, why do we talk about Austrian economics? Because it is a foundation linchpin in conservative economic philosophy. And Ludwig von Mises, Austrian economist, among others, introduced much of it. So I think you're going to find it rather interesting. Stay tuned for that. Also, day two of the, I guess you could call it the Republican response to the Trump impeachers as the Senate trial resumes. And now there's all kinds of brouhaha about John Bolton's book and the claim that the president did indeed hold up Ukraine money. And Bolton was going to talk about it in his book, and now everybody's all excited about that. So we're going to talk about that as well. We'll get a call, hopefully, from our, I guess you would call it our spy in the Northeast, Angelo Cerasi. He always brings us some interesting perspective. You know, what did Northern New Yorkers think, you know, about this whole situation with the political firestorm in Washington? So stay tuned for that. And why are there no pro-lifers in the Democratic Party? They're not welcome, you know. Presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg was in a town hall last night. It was televised on Fox News. He was confronted with that question by a Democratic woman who was pro-life. So we're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 all-time most prolific hitters in Major League Baseball. Tom, are you a baseball fan by any chance? I'm just curious because...
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. Then I'm going to ask you, we'll do the first nine. I always do this with Ed. And then I try to see if you can guess who the number one is. So in this case, the number one most prolific hitter when it came to... well, they have a slugging average, slugging percentage. So, okay, good. Tom sounds like he knows. But we're going to wait. Don't say it, Tom. Don't say it. Tom wants to tell me. No. So we'll be doing that. So stay tuned for that as well. Okay. Also, let us not forget, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. All you guys, you want the best haircut at the lowest price I've found? Andrew's Master Barbershop is the place. Barbershop, not barbership. Although, could be on a ship. Maybe in the harbor there, because Dunedin's right next to the water, but it's a barber shop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Cannot miss it. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, please visit our website, where you will be instructed to visit our podcasts, where you will be instructed to take your choice of any of our shows and listen to it. So you can listen at your leisure if you go to ourfreedomworks.com. Our, O-U-R, freedomworks.com. All right. So, gosh, there's a lot going on. Of course, the tragic news of Kobe Bryant. That was a shocker. Such a young man. Such a great basketball player. His daughter. And seven other people were on that helicopter. I guess it was so foggy you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And that's probably the reason. But our condolences, of course. Now, we've got big news, I guess, for Democrats because they're so excited about it. John Bolton has a book. And you know what they do? They vet the book. When you're in politics in Washington and you want to write a book, you can't just write anything you want. There's all kinds of state secrets and government secrets, right? So you have to send your book through this vetting process before you can get the okay to publish it. So Bolton and his team under fire, apparently from the White House and others, after a report in the New York Times says there's a bombshell. It's always a bombshell. Now talk about an overused word. Everything's a bombshell. Revealed this explosive rather than bombshell. Explosive excerpt from his forthcoming book that could prove pivotal in Trump's trial. The Times says that Bolton's manuscript includes a claim that Trump explicitly links a holdup on the money to Ukraine until an investigation of Joe and Hunter Biden is approved. You know what? I don't care. And neither does most people. Because there was corruption, and it's right there, standing stark naked out there on the highway when Hunter Biden becomes a board of director. He was probably just coming out of rehab at the time. He becomes a board of director on the Burisma Energy Company, a corrupt energy company, much as corrupt, that's connected in any way with Ukrainian government. And the energy company, like energy companies over here to some extent, are connected to government, right? They have a monopoly on the electricity or the heat or what or whatever, the water or whatever it is. Anyway, Burisma Energy Company hires Hunter Biden because his dad is the vice president of the United States. And the United States is sending all kinds of money and other things over to the Ukraine, right? So that's why he was hired. Had nothing to do with his ability. And he's paid this huge amount of money. And Vice President Joe Biden says, I didn't know anything about it. He's lying, of course. He knew exactly what was going on. They are profiting from that. There was a similar deal going on, apparently, in China. And, of course, Joe Biden, the vice president, was assigned the Ukrainian account by the president. So anyway, there is corruption that's going on. Trump did want people to look into it. I think it's perfectly legal to look into corruption when it involves your government, your administration, which was at that time the Obama administration, and another country. But the Democrats don't want you to see the man behind the curtain. They want you to focus on the screen over here where the wizard's little head is protruding, but not the man behind the curtain. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Let's do this, Tom. Let's take our break. And when we come back, Mark Thornton from the Ludwig von Mises Institute.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us. So let that feeling grab you deep inside and send you reeling where your love.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, and we're trying to get our buddy Mark Thornton. He hasn't called in, to be honest with you. He's up there in Auburn, Alabama, where, by the way, I used to live, right next to Auburn University. That's where the Ludwig von Mises Institute is. And so Mark hopefully will call in, and we will have him on when they find him. So we are apologetic about that. In the meantime, let's move on to something we discussed at the opening of our show, and that is, why are there no pro-lifers in the Democratic Party? Or why are any Democrats that are pro-life kind of buttoned up, right? Well, Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg refused to say whether he would be open to language in the Democratic platform that would be more inclusive for pro-lifers. And what they did at Fox News is they had one of those town halls in Des Moines, Iowa last night, and Pete Buttigieg was the person of interest at the town hall. A pro-life Democrat named Kristen Day, a woman, she asked Buttigieg whether he wanted the support of, quote, people like me, unquote, during the forum, and pressed the mayor over whether he'd support a change in the Democrats' platform to emphasize that it is a big tent party and a welcomer to pro-lifers. Now, he would not commit to such a thing. He says, I'm not going to try to earn your vote by tricking you. I am pro-choice, and I believe that a woman ought to be able to make that decision. Then he got a lot of applause, apparently from a lot of pro-choicers in the audience. He said, the best I can offer is that if we can't agree on where to draw the line, the next best thing we can do is agree on who should draw the line. And in my view, it's the woman who's faced with that decision in her own life. The moderator was Chris Wallace. He asked Kristen Day if she was satisfied with the answer. She said no. But, you know, for a so-called big tent party, there probably isn't much room in the tent, is there? For people that believe in allowing a child to be born without the threat of being knocked off on the way to birth. It's always confounded me in that whole situation where a party that screams compassion will end the life of the most innocent human beings. Always confounded me. So, of course, all of the Democratic candidates for president are on board with that particular philosophy. Here's what Kristen Day said after she said she was not satisfied. He did not answer the second part of my question, and the second part was the Democratic platform contains language basically saying we don't belong, meaning we pro-lifers, and we have no part in the party because it says abortion should be legal up to 9 months. The government should pay for it. She said in 1996 and several years after, There was language in the Democratic platform that said, quote, we understand that people have very different views on this issue, but that we are a big tent party that includes everybody, and therefore we welcome you, she said, people like me into the party so we can work on issues that we agree on. Well, you know, there is no room for a Democrat in the, I mean, a pro-lifer in the Democratic Party. You should know that. They're very staunch on that whole thing. Very sad situation. That would be one reason why anybody, you know, that has any kind of a fundamental religious belief, I would think, a Christian, would generally not be a Democrat. I don't know how you can reconcile being a Christian and believing in, you know, the principles of Christianity and then knocking off your unborn child. It doesn't seem to me to work that way. Okay. I guess we don't have anything further on our buddy Mark, huh? You're doing your best you can to round him up. He's somewhere.
Nothing further. They were looking for him. The young lady who answered the phone had not seen him yet.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tom. Mark's been on many times before with us, and I'm sure once he remembers, he'll call in. I want to talk a little bit in the meantime about not only did John Bolton have a book that's coming out. Did you know that Hillary's got, I guess, well, she's always got something coming out when it comes to a publication, but there's a documentary on Hillary Clinton that is going to be coming up. I don't know when it is. I should know this, shouldn't I? It'll be on, apparently on HBO. Well, I'm not sure if it's HBO or Sundance. It's the Sundance Network. I guess there's a cable network called Sundance. Okay. Well, one woman who will not be watching the new documentary about Hillary Clinton is Juanita Broderick. Do you remember Juanita Broderick? Those of you old enough to remember. She has claimed for years that she was raped by Bill Clinton when he was, I think, Lieutenant Governor of Arkansas. But anyway, she says, I cannot watch it, meaning the documentary on Hillary. I'll see clips of it probably from Twitter or Facebook or something like that. But to watch that woman talk is torture. Broderick's now 77 years old. She said, I guess I have so many feelings about her that it just is hard for her to even... You know, Hillary apparently approached Juanita after the incident and tried to shut her up. There's a long story about all of that, too. She was 35 years old. Clinton was 4 years younger. She first met him while working as a nursing home administrator in Arkansas, where he paid a visit during his campaign for governor. So he was lieutenant governor. And this was 1978. She became a campaign volunteer. And Clinton told her, give him a call when she was ever at the Capitol in Little Rock. A few weeks later, she suggested they meet for coffee in her hotel lobby. But when Clinton arrived, allegedly, he insisted they go up to her room so they could avoid reporters. And that is where she claimed the attack occurred. And Hillary followed up. Because he was, I think Hillary was always cleaning up after him, so to speak. And she came to visit Juanita and kind of threatened her. And Bill Clinton denied the attack, has never addressed it publicly since 1999. And when Hillary visited Juanita later, Broderick said that, quote, she comes straight over to me as she is walking toward me, takes a hold of my hand and says, I just want you to know how appreciative we are for everything you are doing for his campaign. As she turned to leave, Juanita said that Hillary grabbed her again and reiterated the point, but with an icy glare, quote, do you understand everything that you do? Well, There you go. And good old Bill. Then he's over there with the Epstein Express back and forth to the Bahamas. He's had a grand old time, hasn't he? Over the years. Crazy. Let's do this, Tom. I got to get a glass of water or something. So let's take our break. And maybe, or maybe not, I'll get our buddy Mark Thornton on the line, and we can do our interview. Otherwise, we'll probably have our buddy, if he's listening, Angelo, will call in after our break. We'll talk with Angelo Ceresi.
It's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
The Florida Strawberry Festival 2020. Our perfect vision for music and family fun. February 27th through March 8th. Oak Ridge Boys. Rascal Flatts. Tommy James and the Shondells. Michael Ray. Roots and Boots with Aaron Tippin, Sammy Kershaw, and Colin Ray. 98 Degrees. Bobby Bones and the Raging Idiots. Reba McEntire. Neil McCoy. Patti LaBelle. Sarah Evans. Skillet. Chubby Checker. Josh Turner. The Golden Boys with Frankie Avalon, Fabian, and Bobby Rydell. Mercy Me. Jimmy Fortune with Daly and Vincent. Darcy Lynn and Friends Live. Charlie Wilson, Eli Young Band, Leonard Skinner, and more on the Wish Farm Soundstage. Advance tickets are on sale now at flstrawberryfestival.com. That's flstrawberryfestival.com. The Florida Strawberry Festival 2020. Our perfect vision.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you very much for being with us on this Monday morning. Lots going on. Again, the tragedy of Kobe Bryant in that helicopter with his daughter and a bunch of other people. A very, very sad morning. And in the meantime, in our political world, that's what we talk about here, on Freedom Works. Bernie Sanders, who's, by the way, stuck back in Washington during this impeachment investigation, he's opened up a lead in Iowa just over a week before the Democratic caucus there. Good old Bernie. He's consolidating support, apparently, from the liberals, benefiting from divisions among more moderates. And this is, by the way, one of the states that both Amy Klobuchar, who's next door in Minnesota, and Pete Buttigieg, who is two states away, need to do well in. Because if they don't do well in the Midwest, where they're from, not going to look good for them going into states like South Carolina and New Hampshire, right? So if Bernie's leading over there, Bernie has gained 6 points since the last Siena poll in late October. He's now got 25% of the vote in Iowa. Pete has 18%. Biden has 17%. So Pete's doing okay, Pete Buttigieg. But, he, you know, got to do more than okay if you're in the Midwest and you're at a Midwest. You got to, and Amy Klobuchar, what's going on with her? If she doesn't do well, she's next door in Minnesota. What's going on, right? Iowa and Minnesota. The rise of Sanders has come at the expense of his fellow progressive Elizabeth Warren. She's dropped from 22% in October to 15%. What's going on with her? People getting tired of listening to her, maybe? I don't know. But there you go. Meantime, Mike Braun, speaking of Pete Buttigieg in the state of Indiana, Mike Braun from Indiana, Republican, said yesterday that he hopes that this impeachment trial is going to be instructive for Trump. Now, he was on Meet the Press, where he's not going to get any, let's say, easy questions, right? Meet the Press is pretty liberal. His comments came during a contentious back and forth with Chuck Todd, the moderator of Meet the Press, where Todd told Braun that Trump is, quote, going to take acquittal and think, I can keep doing this, unquote. And Braun said, no, I don't think that. Hopefully it'll be instructive. I think he'll put two and two together. In this case, he was taken to the carpet. That's what Braun responded. So I guess they're starting the trial at 1 o'clock. Tom, do you listen to the impeachment? Do you follow it with any interest at all, or do you find
it? Yeah, I have been following
it. Have you? Can I ask your thoughts on the whole thing, or do you, or would you rather not share it?
That's okay. I can share.
Please share. What do you think?
I am a Republican, so I am, you know, anxious to hear more today.
What do you think about this Bolton thing? Have you read about the Bolton
I'm
book?
Getting bits and pieces. It's happening right now, I guess, as we speak.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know. Maybe he's trying to sell a book today? I don't know.
He is trying to sell a book. That's one of the reasons he doesn't want any of it leaked, Bolton. I think he's a little upset that, you know, there are so many leakers. It's like a screen door. There's no security in what you say in Washington. Come on. John Bolton, are you surprised that things aren't being leaked? Of course you're not surprised. But he apparently says in the book that indeed Trump was trying to look into the kind of strange goings-on of Joe Biden. I would too. And by the way, we've talked about this. Trump's the commander-in-chief and head of the Department of Justice. They report to him. Is he not allowed to look into corruption or perceived corruption when it involves the United States and another country? Of course he is. The Democrats paint it like he's looking into, they use the word dirt. I use the word corruption. If I say he's looking into corruption, makes him sound good, doesn't it? And if you say he's looking into dirt to get dirt, makes him sound bad, doesn't it? So it's all As my buddy Bill Shakespeare once said, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Right? But in this case, the rose smells bad when it's dirt and good when it's looking into corruption. So, I mean, you take your poison here. Of course Trump wants to get the goods on Biden if he can, if it would help him. I don't blame him. You think that Obama did any better? Are you kidding? They were looking for dirt on Trump before he was president, weren't they? They were looking for to get the goods on him to the point of manufacturing. And that's okay? Did they impeach Obama? No. They let him do it. He had the FBI involved. He had the courts involved. And he stayed in. That's okay, apparently. It's okay for the former administration to try to find dirt on you. That's okay. But when the current administration tries to find dirt, that's not okay. We're going to impeach you. So there you go. It's kind of crazy world here that's going on. In the meantime, I guess our buddy Angelo. Tom, you're bringing me bad luck. All my guests are not calling in. I'm going to blame you, of course. And I should blame you because you should be blamed.
Hey, go right ahead. The phone
going
is working.
Right ahead. I'm following forward with my thought. So Donald Trump is expected to disclose details of his Middle East peace plan to Israeli leaders today. Trump is going to meet with Benjamin Netanyahu. And Benny Gantz. Now, Benny Gantz is running as a centrist against Netanyahu, I guess, in their race. And Trump's going to meet with both of them over his Mideast proposals. Palestinians fear the plan that Trump will come up with will dash their hopes for an independent state in the West Bank and East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip. Palestinian leaders say we were not invited to visit with Trump, just the Israelis, and that no peace plan can work without them. I think they might have a point. Ahead of this meeting, the Prime Minister of Palestine, Mohammed Shteya, said that Trump and Netanyahu were using the plan as a distraction from their domestic troubles. So, there you go. You know that Trump has been, he moved the embassy, our U.S. embassy, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That was a promise made by a lot of presidents, they were going to do that, but Trump did it. He's clearly in the, Israeli court. Netanyahu loves him. Trump had hoped to release his own Mideast plan last year, but was delayed as Netanyahu twice unsuccessfully tried to form a governing coalition and was not able to. So Trump didn't want to come walking in there with his plan when there wasn't any real consensus in the Knesset, which is, of course, the Israeli parliament. So there you go. One of the things, I guess, that people enjoy about Donald Trump and also not enjoy about him is his tweeting. He fired off a tweet again yesterday, one of many, in the direction of Adam Schiff. He said, "Shifty Adam Schiff is a corrupt politician, probably a very sick man. He has not paid the price yet for what he has done to our country." Now, some people took that to be a threat from Trump. He has not paid the price yet, right? Especially the Democrats. Schiff himself went on Meet the Press. He said he thought Trump had intended to threaten him when he said he has not paid the price yet for what he has done to our country. Among the critics of what Trump tweeted were David Cicilline of Rhode Island, a Democrat, of course, Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, another Democrat. Van Hollen said Trump's attorney should be admonished by the Chief Justice, John Roberts. Away we go, right? And we'll find out later, of course, about all of this, but I don't think that was much of a threat. It was just, you know, comeuppance, I think, could have been used as a word. Anyway, let's do this, Tom. Let's take our final break. Looks like our guests are, you got to listen to my voice drone on the entire show without having a guest for a little bit of relief. But we're going to do a few more stories, and then we're going to give you our top 10 greatest, most prolific sluggers in Major League Baseball history. So stay tuned for that.
Only the lonely
Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for joining us. I want to remind you again that we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. You guys, definitely visit Andrew's Tuesday through Friday. Let me get the hours here for you. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, and I don't have the hours in front of me right now, but I can guarantee you that you get over there, you'll get a great haircut at a great price. Okay, so California is always in the news these days. Something's always going wrong, apparently, in California. The governor of Oklahoma has now banned all state-funded travel to California. After officials there placed a similar ban on travel to his state. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt, in his first term, says the ban in an executive order bars all non-essential travel by state employees to California, with the exception for business recruiting trips, where they can take more Californians and bring them over to Oklahoma. Stitt said enough is enough. If California's elected officials don't want public employees traveling to Oklahoma, I'm eager to return the gesture on behalf of Oklahoma's pro-life stance. You know, nothing like cutting off state travel based on somebody's politics, right? Stitt's executive order comes as a response to a travel ban imposed by California on Oklahoma. Oklahoma added California's Oklahoma was added to California's travel ban 2 years ago after they passed a law allowing adoption agencies to deny placement services to same-sex couples. Now, California did not like that. Therefore, you can't travel over there on our dime. Last year, San Francisco also extended the ban to all states with restrictive abortion laws. By the way, why would San Francisco employees need to go to another state anyway? I don't think that the citizens should be paying for that. Last September, California said that it added Iowa to its states because of the state's prohibition against funding gender transition surgeries under Medicaid. Hey, we got our buddy Angelo. He woke up and decided to give us a call. Hey, Angelo, how are you?
Pretty good. I had an appointment. I'd run right back home.
Oh, no, I'm just teasing you. It's always great to hear from you. How's weather up there, by the way, these days?
Well, the snow's melting a bit. You know, we had rain all weekend.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a little chilly, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called. I'm just delighted to hear your voice.
I didn't want to miss the program.
We've been talking a little bit now. I don't know if you heard. John Bolton has a book that apparently connects Donald Trump to holding up aid to the Ukraine until they give him the okay. They'll do a little investigation on the corruption of the Bidens. Have you heard about that at all?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Oh, okay. Now, we were saying on the show that, of course, Trump was looking for possible corruption by the Bidens because there was possible corruption by the Bidens and that he had every right to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Democrats use the word dirt. Trump's looking for dirt. Republicans will say, Trump's looking at corruption, right? So
yep.
In one case, Trump looks good. He's looking at corruption, possible corruption. The other case, he's a bad person. He's looking for dirt on somebody. I want to get your thought on that.
Well, as the president, you know, he has every right to look at the corruption, and the Bidens had to be part of it, you know? I mean, there was corruption in the Ukraine for quite a while. And, you know, he had every right to hold up the funding. I mean, he gave them the funding. There was no hold up of the funds or anything
correct.
Like that. So, you know, I mean,
He put a hold on. You know, I think everybody will agree that Trump did want to find out if Joe Biden did something wrong and that it would help him. But at the same time, I think he has a right as the chief executive officer of our country. If another U.S. administration is goofing around, in another country, does he not have the right to investigate that when the vice president is involved? I think he does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He has every right to do that. It's part of his job.
Say, Andrew, are you going to... Andrew. Angelo!
Yes.
Andrew and Angelo are brothers, by the way. Are you going to watch or listen to day two of the Republican response to this impeachment?
I might listen a little bit to, a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I already know that, I mean, the Democrats have been trying to fish this thing since before he got elected. So, you know, I mean, I hope that the senators know this, you know. I'm sure they do.
You know, not one Republican has bolted. Excuse me for using the word bolted. That was an accident. But not one has bolted. They've all stayed together, both in the House and Senate. And I don't know that there's any Republicans that would vote for removal. There's a possibility, I think a weak one, but a possibility that Romney from Utah,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't like Trump at all,
No.
Might bolt, but I'm not even sure he would. What do you think?
And if he does, I think the rest will stay.
Right.
And people have to understand that he's bitter that he didn't get the Secretary of State job. He was a never-Trumper from the get-go when he called him a fraud and everything like that while he was running. I mean,
yeah,
people can't forget that. You know, he's a bitter person.
Mm-hmm.
Bitter because he lost, and, you know, somebody else made it. He's a vindictive type of individual. So now, much for being a Christian person, kind of, huh?
Yeah, really. All the Christianity that, and also Nancy Pelosi. Remember, she's got a lot of Christianity in her, too.
She's got a lot of Christianity.
She was very, very sad as she handed out. Handing out those pens.
Bunch of hypocrites.
From the impeachment, yeah.
They can say they're Christians. I mean, do they think they're fooling people? Come on. I mean, I can't believe the American people are that gullible to believe that these people are who they really are.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently they seem to think that they can get away with it. So, how's your buddy? Now, Angelo is from Rochester, so he's not real, real close to New York City, right? And he's, what, 80 miles away or something?
We're about 6 hours away.
Six? Really?
Yeah. We're up near the Canadian border.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize it was a 6 hours.
We're as far as north as you can get, up to Canada.
Can you walk to the Canadian border from where you live?
No, I'd have to drive to Buffalo or to Niagara Falls.
Now, you would get into Ontario or Quebec?
We're right on Lake Ontario, right across from Toronto.
Okay. How far are you from Toronto?
We're about an hour drive.
You're closer to Toronto than New York City.
It takes an hour to get to Buffalo.
Well,
that,
in my opinion, you're more of a Canadian than an American. I don't think you should be voting. Okay, I want to ask you about Mike Bloomberg, whom you adore. Now, Mike Bloomberg was the mayor of New York City, which is far away from you. However, it's in your state.
Mm-hmm.
He's been running these Have you seen any of his commercials, Angelo?
No, I've seen Ed Steyer's commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Bloomberg's at all yet.
Oh, you got to watch his. Because he's not going to be doing much of, I don't think, much campaigning. He's just going to run all these commercials. You know, he's got so much money, he could probably buy all of the available time on regular television and still have money left over. But he's going to be running a lot of ads. He has been running a lot. We see him down here in Florida quite a bit. In fact, he was in Florida. I think he was in over the weekend here in Florida.
He's not too well liked up here in upstate New York. Maybe New York City, but...
Well, he's been all over the map when it comes to his... Yeah, he's been all over the map when it comes to his... Whether he's a Democrat, an independent, or a Republican. I think he's been all three, correct?
I think he has.
Yeah.
He doesn't know which way to go.
So do you think he's got any chance...
No.
You know, not to be president, but to be the nominee.
Not even close.
You don't think so?
I heard and read that he wants to spend as much money possible to get rid of Trump. I have no idea why he dislikes Trump so much. Maybe a business dealing. You know, all these people have their hidden agendas for one reason or another. You know?
Right.
I mean, let's face it, most of these politicians, they're millionaires to begin with, right?
Well, they become millionaires if they're not by the time they're in politics for a while.
Pelosi and everybody else.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, my friend, as usual, thank you very much for calling in. And
sorry about that.
Not at all. What are you apologizing for? We're delighted to have your comments, and we're going to look forward to your comments. You know, it'll be fun next Monday because hopefully this whole crazy impeachment trial will be over. We can then, you and I, we can assess the results of it, okay?
I hope it's over with.
Me too. Absolutely right. Thank you so much, Angelo.
Have a good week, and hopefully we have some good news to report next week.
We hope so. All right, my friend, stay warm.
Take care. We will.
Okay, bye-bye. There he goes, Angelo Cerisi. All right, now, Tom, you got to get over on the drums, because now we do what's called our top 10, and we've got a good one. And Tom says he's a baseball fan, so he might know the answer at the end here. We're going to give you the top 10 most prolific sluggers in Major League Baseball history comes from Game Day News, who came up with this assessment. They just based it really on slugging percentage. Do you know what a slugging percentage is, Tom? You know how that works?
Yeah, kind of. It's a combination of a couple of offensive.
Number of bases that you get on hits, basically. So if you're a guy that hits homers and triples, you're going to do better than a guy that hits singles all the time, if you all had the same amount of hits, right? Your slugging percentage is more valuable, right? Because
Correct.
You'll drive in more runs, right? Okay. I'm glad you agree with me, Tom. It would be hard to deal with you if you didn't agree with me on this show. All right, here we go. Get on the drums, Tom. Are you ready? All right, number 10. You do it as good as Ed, by the way. Number 10 is Manny Ramirez. You ever heard of him? Manny Ramirez is a 12-time All-Star, currently holds the record for most postseason home runs in Major League Baseball history. All right, number 9. Mark McGwire, first person to have a career slugging percentage under 600 on this list. But he was one of the most prolific home run hitters of all time. Number 8. Hank Greenberg. Ever heard of him?
Sure.
Okay. Hank Greenberg. I think he played for Detroit. Yeah, he did play. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame, by the way, in 1956. He has the sixth highest slugging percentage of all time. 6.6050. 60-50. Okay. Number 7. Barry Bonds. He and Mark McGwire, of course, were doing steroids. But he finished with the fifth best slugging percentage. And he was also a great fielder. He was on the All-Stars 14 times. Number 6. Ever heard of Jimmy Fox? Jimmy Fox, 20 seasons for the Philadelphia Athletics, the Red Sox, and the Cubs. And his Major League slugging percentage, 6.093. Number 5. Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid. Nearly all his 22 years with the New York Giants and the San Francisco Giants. Slugging percentage, 5.575. Okay, number 4. You know what? That has to be wrong. It's 6.575 because he was number 5. Okay, number 4 is Rogers Hornsby. And we're going to have to go through this quickly. I see. So number 3, Lou Gehrig. Number 2, very good, Ted Williams. Okay, who do you think's number 1, Tom? Okay, roll the drums quickly. The number 1 is Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth had the highest slugging percentage of all time, 6.897. So there you go, my friends. We'll be back on Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.